I don't want to be before you too long. I want to dive right into this sermon or this message, this teaching that the Lord has given us today. And I'm going to speak from the title of Recalibrating Friendships. And as I stated, I'm preaching already. The first week of this series, I taught on recalibrating priorities. I taught on how sometimes in life, life can pull us in every direction, left, right, and sometimes we find ourselves forgetting about what's most important. And I'm here today to reiterate and tell you that the most important thing in your life is not your job, it's not your career, it's your relationship with God. And we have to sometimes reexamine ourselves and recalibrate the things around us and to ensure that Jesus is indeed the foundation of our lives. And when Jesus is the foundation of our lives, we'll see that everything seems to fall in line. Yes, and then Pastor Sam came and he taught on recalibrating our faith. Recalibrating our faith and making sure that our faith is not in some hope, wish, or dream, but our faith is in the promises of God. And to stop expecting God to come through for us the way that we think he should or the way that we want him to, but just to focus on the promise that God has given us. And today, I come to help you to understand that friendships are important in your life. Friendships are so important in your life. As a matter of fact, friendships are so important in your life that we see the work of Jesus when he begins his ministry. After he takes time for himself, he goes and he finds friends or people to partner with him to ultimately to reach his destiny. And I'm just here to tell you today that I know sometimes we live in an age where we talk about no new friends. I know sometimes we live in an age where we think that we got everything all by ourselves. But I want you to understand that if you're going to run after everything that God has for you and complete your assignment in life, it's going to take some friends to go with you. We need people in our lives that add value to our lives that ultimately pushes us to our destiny. David needed Jonathan. It was Jonathan that gave David the insight to be able to get away from his father. Yeah. Friends are very important in our lives. And we live in a day and age where we focus so much, I'm preaching already, we focus so much on romantic relationships that we neglect our friendships. When all actuality, the key to a successful romantic relationship is birth from good friendships. Let me help you here. It's in my friendships where I learn how to be supportive. It's in my friendships where I learn how to be forgiving. It's in my friendships where I learn how to be protective. It's in my friendships where I learn how to inspire and how to encourage and how to rebuke and how to accept constructive criticism. And if I don't learn these things in my friendships, it's going to be hard for me to implement these things in my romantic relationship. So I want to challenge you today is, and the interesting thing about Jesus in completing his mission on earth, he didn't run out in trying to find a spouse or a partner or some relationship or some romantic relationship, but he went to find people that would connect with the vision and the purpose that God had for his life. Yeah, yeah. There's great benefits. There's great, huge benefits of good friendships. Let me give you this really quick. One of the first benefits of good friendships is this. Friends or good friends are good for your physical health. You're good for your physical health. Oh, what do you mean? Well, psychologically, and we have people that tell us that that when we have good friendships, the more that we're able to be social, and the more that we're able to be social, the more that we are active, the more that we're going places and doing things. In other words, you ain't somewhere sitting on a couch just getting big or eating, but it's good for the heart because you're out and you're moving about. Number one, and you're making other connections with people. So good friendships is good for your physical health. And not only is good friendships important for your physical health, but friends or good friends encourage healthy behaviors. Good friends encourage healthy behaviors. You can only be, or you can only become, what you see. And so when you're surrounded by good people and good friends, sometimes you will pick up on some of their good behaviors. You'll pick up on some of their good habits. Maybe in your home you wasn't exposed to a certain thing, but they were. And now you've picked that up and you're practicing good habits all because of the people that you have connected to. So good friends allow us to have healthy behaviors. Good friends provide emotional support. How many know that life is hard? Life is tough. And sometimes in life, bad things happen to good people. But when you have friends who care about you and who love you and who want to see you succeed in life, they have a way of being good emotional supports to you so that you're not running around trying to find love all in the wrong places. But a good friend is able to give you a holy hug. And I don't know if you ever had a holy hug before, but there's something about those friends that know how to hug and that everything just becomes all right because you came in contact with them. Have anybody ever had a holy hug? I mean, they just literally, the love of God, they just squeezed it into you. Good friends gives you good emotional support. And not only does good friends give you good emotional support, but good friends help build your confidence. I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to go anywhere in life, you got to have some confidence. It's hard to go anywhere if you cannot be confident in who you are and whose you are. And you have friends. When people are speaking bad on you, when people are calling you funny looking and ugly, when people are talking about you, your friend would tell you, "Nah, girl, you look good." Or "Hey, you know what? You're doing real good." So in other words, friends, they look to you and they will pour into you and build you up. Good friends will build you up. Good friends will encourage you, will enlighten you, will inspire you. They'll do that for you. They'll build confidence. Friends will have you go into places that you don't think you should go in, but because your friend told you you deserve to sit at that table, all of a sudden you will go and sit at that table. That is the benefit of having some good friends. And not only does friends build confidence, but friends have a way, good friends, I should say, has a way of helping you beat stress. We live in a day, an age where we work and we got to meet deadlines and we got this going on and we got that going on. But when we have good friends, they can help us to take a pause. They can tell us, hey, it's time for you to sit down a little while. You've been doing too much. You've been moving around too much. They can help you see situations clearly and give you and offer you something that I call perception challenge. Good friends challenges your perspective because sometimes we can be all stressed out and worry about nothing. But a good friend will sit you down and tell you, you know what? It's not as bad as you think. And not only will good friends help you beat stress, and this is the most important thing. If you don't get this, I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, is good friends push you to be your best. Good friends will not allow you to settle for average. Good friends will not allow you to stay depressed. Good friends will not allow you to talk so negative, but a good friend will hold you accountable to pull out the very thing that they know that is deep down inside of you. Good friends help you to be your best. Friendships are extremely important. They are so important that if I wanted to know where you would be in 5 years, all I have to do is look at your friends. Look at the people that you've gave access to your circle. Look at the people that you listen to. Look at the people that you vent to. Look at the people that pour into you, and I will be able to predict where you'll be in the next 5 years. And friendships are so important that the Bible says it like this in Proverbs 18 and 24. It says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a good friend stick closer than a brother. In other words, depending who you give access to you in your circle, they have the opportunity to derail you if you allow them. But the Bible always also says, and lets us know in Proverbs 13, that that when we walk with the wise, we become wise, and associate with fools and we get in trouble. In other words, when everybody is around me is good, and they have my best heart and interest, and they're for me, the Bible says I'll become wise. In other words, they can help push you to get into your destiny. And might I suggest today too, is that the issues that you're having in starting your business, the issue that you're having in going after all that God has for you, the issues that's been keeping you stagnant, can I suggest today that it just might be the friends that you keep? Sometimes it's not the work of the enemy. Sometimes it's the work of the access that we've given to people in our lives. Because if you're not careful, you will have a dream or a vision from God, and you will tell your friend, and before you can get started with it, they'll kill it. So I need you to understand that sometimes, or in life, or this today, I need you to recalibrate your friendships. I need you to take a look at them, because I'm trying to tell you that the company that you keep can push you to your destiny or hinder you from your destiny. And I'm reminded of a time in a season of my life where I had a friend. Anybody ever had a messy friend? You know, I don't know why we keep messy friends in our lives. And sometimes, and you know, we have a good heart. We have a good heart, and we want to see the good in people, and all these different things. But we keep these messy folks in our lives, and then before we know it, our laundry is all out in the street. The secrets that we didn't told somebody, and we thought they was going to keep it, they done exposed it to everybody. And you know what? We can't even be mad at them. We can't even be angry with them, because we knew from the beginning that they were messy. We knew it. But the question that I have is, why do we allow so much access? And why do we stay in close proximity relationship with people who we know are messy? Who we know is more of a hindrance in our life than a help. Now, am I preaching today to get rid of all your friends? It's not what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching today that all your friends got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You need some. You need some. You got to have some. But if all our friends were saved and had it all together, then where would the work of Jesus Christ be? So I'm not saying that all the friends in your life have to be saved and have to have it all together. But what I am saying is that you have to be selective of the access that you give to some people. You can know that somebody's messy and you can be a messy person's friend, but baby, you got to have a boundary somewhere and say, you cool and all, but you know, but yeah, you got to have, we good over here. You know, I'm trying to get to God, but these friendships will derail the place that God has for us. They will talk us out of it if we continue to give them full access to us. So what I'm about to do right now is I want to give you these couple of points really quick. I want to help you to dissect friends in your life. I'm here to tell you today that if you are a walking in Christ, then your friends are going to fall in one of three categories, okay? Write this down if you're taking notes. The first type of friend that I want to speak of today is a confidant. Somebody say a confidant. Put that in the comments, a confidant. Now, a confidant is the type of person or the type of friend that love you so much. And I'm going to go as far to say that they love you so much that they're in love with you, not romantically, but they're all into you, not what you do, not what you have, not the places that you go, not what you can do for them, but simply because you are who you are. That is a confidence. These type of people comes in our life, and it don't matter where we going. I can tell them, you can call them up and say, you know what, today we going to jail, and they grab their bags and say, you know what, I'm rolling with you. In other words, it doesn't matter where you go, where you move to, this person is for you. They care about you. They're going to protect you. They're going to keep you. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a confidant is the person that don't allow people to speak negative about you when you're not in the room, okay? I'm talking about the type of friend when somebody starts to speak negative on you, they're going to say, hold on, wait a minute, right? I'm talking about a confidant. I'm talking about, and we see these relationships often in our lives as our parents. When you think about the love of a mother and the love of a father, there's nothing you can do. If you go to jail, they're going to write you, put money in your books, and come visit you because they love who you are at your core. That is a confidant. That's a confidant. And those can be more than your parents. They can be some type of friends. And my grandmother used to tell me that if you have a more than one confidant friend in your life, then truly you are blessed. And I've had a number, and I'm thankful for my confidence. I'm thankful for people that I can be real to, that I don't have to be Pastor J to, but I can be expressly, and I can tell them how I feel and what's on my mind. Those people are your confidant. They love you. They are into you. No matter what you do, they're going to ride for you. This next person that I want to introduce, and first let me say, is that confidant person. They deserve and you give full access. Somebody say full access. You give them full access to you because they can handle the access, because they're not caught up in what you do. They're not caught up in anything other than who you are to them. You give them full access. This next person that you have that will come into your life is a constituent. A constituent. A constituent is not, they're not necessarily for you. They are just for what you are for. I'll say it again. A constituent is not for you. They are simply just for what you are for. In other words, these friendships are built and they happen simply because we go to church together. And because we go to church together and because we work together, you are my friend. But once you remove that connection piece, once you remove the thing that binded you together, the friendship dissolves. Or once somebody comes around who does things a little bit better than you do, once somebody is the new kid on the block, they can move on, cut ties with you easily, walk away because they were not for you. They was just for what you are for. And when we have friends in our life that are not for us, but they're for what we are for, they have to have limited access to us. They cannot handle full access because you are not for me. You are just for what I am for. And once that connection is removed in my life, your commitment, or I know we're no longer bounded. So that means once it's over, you will tell my business. You will talk about behind my back because it was never about me. It was never about me. It was just, we were just for the same cause. Whatever. Black Lives Matter. Yes, it do. Okay. All right, cool. That's the cause. All right, we go to church together. Cool. That's the cause. Okay, we work together. Cool. That's the cause. But once the cause is removed, the friendship is gone. But when you give access, when you give full access, in other words, a constituent is a seasonal person. In other words, they were never meant to go with you all the way, but they was positioned in your life for a season or a reason, or guess what? For a cause. But if you unload and you give full access to these people, you'll find yourself hurt. You'll find yourself praying to God, asking God, why did they have to leave me? And God is saying, I didn't put them there to be there always. I put them there to be a season to help you or to grow or to shape you. But once that cause is now removed, I need you still to go on to your destiny.
Yes, sir.
And I was talking to my brother, Pastor Matt, and we was talking about this thing earlier this weekend. And he gave me this analogy about constituents. Let's say that we're driving down 94, right? We're going down 94. And as long as we're driving down 94 west, we're together, right? We're going west. We're together. It's cool. But depending on my destiny, or depending on my end goal, or depending on where my stop is, that may cause you to take an exit sooner than me. And what we do is people have exited our lives because the cause that brought us together is no longer there. And we're crying and begging them to come back and worrying and talking about why you won't hang out with me. Why you not spending time with me? Why you not answering the phone? Why we can't do this and do that? And it's just simply because you're still on the freeway and their exit has already came out. So you're wasting time and you're wasting energy on somebody who was never supposed to be there always, but who was only there for a season. And the third type of friend that you would experience in your life, these friends are the most dangerous. They are the most dangerous. I said again, they are the most dangerous. Well, Pastor, what do you mean about having a dangerous friend? Jesus had one. His name was Judas. And he sold him out for a little piece of change, right? But Judas still served what? A purpose in his life. These friends are the most dangerous, so you have to be the most careful of them. But these friends are what we call Conrads, okay? Conrads. Conrads are not for you like a constituent. I mean, like a confidence. They're not for you. They are not for what you are for like a constituent. But what they are just against what you are against. In other words, they'll form a bond. They'll form a relationship. They'll form a commitment. They'll form this awesome thing, not because they care about who you are, not because they love you, not because they're with you seasonal, but because the thing that you don't like, they don't like. In other words, they got word that you and Sally, had it out. And because you and Sally ain't cool and they don't like Sally either, they'll forge a relationship and a connect with you. Not because they love you and they want to see you succeed, but because they don't like Sally. And as long as we can come together and defeat Sally, as long as we can come together and be over this thing, then guess what? They'll be with you. And a lot of times, we see this in war. We see allies come together not because they love each other, but because they have a common enemy. But all of these people in our lives, whether it be the constituent or whether it be the comrade, does not deserve full access to you. They deserve limited access. So we have to learn that in this thing, in this life, and we see that we've been putting our friends in the wrong categories. You've been thinking that so-and-so was a confidant. In all actuality, there was a comrade. You thought this person was supposed to be with you for always and go with you, but you found out they were a constituent. They were seasonal. And sometimes we'll go through life and we'll make life hard. And we're not getting to the place that God wants to be with us because we've put our friends in the wrong category. And because we've given too much access to too many people. And the access that we've given to people is starting to ruin us. I'm reminded of a time I had a coworker who had a whole bunch of single friends, and he was married. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have single friends. I still have some single friends. But when all your friends are single and not married, there is a certain mindset or attitude about men that are single that are different from men that are married. And I'm talking Christian men, too. And if you are not careful, if you're giving full access, if you always hanging out with these single friends, you'll be married and find yourself real single. Or maybe it's not a relationship. Maybe all your friends cuss like a sailor. Maybe all of them cuss like a sailor. If you keep on fostering those relationships and spending and giving full access to them, you'll find yourself cussing folk out now. Because the people that are connected to you, that you give access to you, they rub off on you.
Come on, sir.
They rub off on you. And I got a picture that I want to show you. You guys, and Sam, don't worry. I forgot to give it to you, so don't panic. But I'm gonna try to airdrop this to the computer right now, real quick. Let's see if it can reach, because I really want to get you this picture. Airdrop. Let's see. I gotta get you this picture. Here, take my phone back there, and when it pop up, I want to give you this picture. To the computer. And so I want to just show you, I'm sorry, I want to show you real quick. It's so important. I forgot. I lost track of it. I want to show you when you have people in your life that don't mean you no good or not people in your life that don't mean you no good, but when you've given too much access to friends that have toxic traits. I want to show you what happens. Bear with me. One second. I'm sorry, Sam. Please forgive me. There we go. Here we go. We have a rotten now. So the saying is one bad apple spoils the bunch, right? Now, if you look real closely, you will see that this is not actually an apple. It's a pear. But I'm here to tell you that the point still remains the same. We see this toxic situation. We see this toxic thing. And all of a sudden, the connection between the two is starting to rub off on the other one. And when we have put people in our lives that are comrade and constituents in the place of confidant, this is the type of thing that happens to us. We begin to rot in certain areas of our lives. And that rotten, it stops us and prevents us from getting to the place that God has called us to be. And if I can give you a little scripture really quick, Proverbs 12 and 26 says this. It says, a righteous man is cautious in friendships, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And if you don't get nothing out of this today, is I want you today to look over all your friendships and relationships and begin to recalibrate them to, are you my confidant? Are you my constituents? Or are you my comrade? And I promise you that those friendships will tend to materialize or even be better for you if you can put people in the right category. And so the scripture speaks and it tells us that a righteous man is cautious in friendships. And I know in day of social media, everybody that wants to be our friend, we accept them. But I'm here to tell you that even on social media, you have to be careful, because social media has something called the algorithm. And depending on who your friends are and what you post, you will find stuff in your algorithm, not based off what you desire, but based off what your friends desire. So not only do we need to watch the people that we're physically connected to, we have to watch the people who we're socially connected to on social media. And so I know I didn't say a lot, but I'm ready to read my scripture. That's not even a message yet. Now we're getting here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And I'm going to catch you up to date. So Jesus has been spending time with his disciples. He's been spending time with his disciples and he's been teaching them and pouring into them. And then Jesus decides to ask the disciples some random question, right? And he asks the disciples this random question. And he says, who does man say that I am? And they begin, some says you're this, and some says you're that. But then he asks Peter, Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, whoa, hold up. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Holy Spirit gave you that, because I haven't even revealed that to you, and you know. And then he builds Peter up and he showers Peter with love so much that he says that, you know what, Peter, I'm going to build my rock on this revelation, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom and all these different things. He begins to build Peter up and love on Peter for the revelation that Peter had. And then what he does is something interesting. Then he began to teach. I think that's where you get the scripture. 16:21. It says, for then Jesus began to teach his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of elders and leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Verse 22. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. He says, heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. And verse number 23, catch this. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap for me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's point of view. What does it say? Jesus took his time. He handpicked his disciples and he taught them. He raised them. He spent time with them and he loved on them. And they was there when he walked on water, and they walked beside him when he did all these magnificent things and all of these miracles. And Peter was so blessed to have a revelation, and God tells Peter that he's going to build his church on the revelation that Peter got and all these significant things. And he says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. But we see that Jesus began to tell Peter that, listen, one day I'm going to die and I'm going to rise in 3 days. And Peter had a good heart. I believe that he loved God. I believe that he had good intentions. But watch this, people. When Peter interrupted or came against the plan and the purpose of Jesus' life, he stopped right there and said, get away from me, Satan. In other words, Peter was Jesus' homeboy. As a matter of fact, Peter was so close to Jesus that there was this one time when Jesus went to go do this miracle and perform this miracle, he only allowed a certain people in the room. He said, you know what? I got 12 disciples, but only 3 going with me, right? So Peter was in the in crowd, but when Peter spoke against the destiny that God ordained for him, he called him Satan and told him to get away from me. In other words, we give access to people in our lives who love us and mean us well, whatever. But at the point where they come in and interfere and interrupt the plan and the destiny that we have for our lives, Jesus said, listen, it's time to call a spade a spade. He told this man, get away from me, Satan. In other words, at this point, it's time for us to separate. And so many times in our lives, we hold on to messy people. So many times in our lives, we know people don't mean us no good, but we stay in relationship with them. But I need somebody to wake up today and understand that I only got room for confidants in my life. I only got room for people in my life who know where I am and see where I'm going and who is called to literally walk out this thing with me. Now, it didn't matter how much Jesus loved Peter. If Peter would have continued on that road of telling Jesus that he couldn't complete his destiny, then I just truly believe that God would have kept him in that place. But we see that Peter ultimately had to have a change of heart because he continues to follow Jesus. But what I'm saying today and what I want you to understand is that when you have people in your life that's preventing you from moving forward, preventing you from getting to your destiny in the place that God has called for you to be, you have to draw the line in the sand and you have to separate yourself. Sometimes it's not the work of the enemy in our lives. Sometimes it's not that we're not the blessed and favored of God. Sometimes it's the people that we have in our camp. And because God don't want you to be exposed before people, he'll prevent the place he has for you because he know you got some people in your life that's too close. You got some people in your life that's spending venom with you. And until you examine these relationships and put them in their certain places in their categories, then you just might not get to the place where God has designed for you to go. Jesus told him, get behind me. In other words, at this point, I see that we can't go together because every time, sometimes it's not out of jealousy. Peter loved him. And he loved him so much that he didn't want him to die. But Jesus had to realize that his destiny was far greater than the love that Peter had for him. And I'm here to tell you today, the destiny that God has called you to go to is far greater than some of the friendships and some of the people that you've given access to in your life. And sometimes it's going to take a cleaning of house. Sometimes it's going to take the reevaluating because every place that God wants to take you or the place that God wants to take you, sometimes the people that are most close to you are not permitted to go with you. Sometimes maybe you've been perceiving comrades and constituents for confidants. And God is saying, hey, I need you to wake up. I need you to realize, and I need you to recalibrate these friendships because the place that I'm calling you to, the place that I want you to get to is for you and it's destined for you to get there, but you're not going to get there with access and free access to the wrong people. And so if I can, and I'm closing, it's how I just want to tell you, or I just want to talk about real quick, I want to give you 3 points, three keys or the recipe to good friendships and having good people in your life. Point number one is good friendships have boundaries. Good friendships have boundaries. I don't care how close you are to people and how much you love people, you ought to have boundaries in friendships. And we see this in the text that the moment that Peter spoke against the destiny of God, he said, Satan, get behind me. In other words, get away from me because you no longer can walk with me because you're speaking or you are contrary to the place that God wants me to be. And when we give full access to people and we don't set boundaries and limitations, people can derail us. Could you imagine if Jesus would have fell for Peter and Peter's love and affection for him, he wouldn't have went to the cross. Therefore, we wouldn't have salvation. But in, even in Peter's love, he had to say, nah, 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 nah. It's a boundary here. And not only does good friendships need boundaries, but good friendships have to be, watch this, God-centered. God-centered. Say it again. God-centered. When you are in relationship with people, when you're walking with people, and you realize that your destiny is at stake, and you realize that being connected to the wrong people or giving too much access to the wrong people will derail you or rotten you, you have to make sure that the people that you are connected to and that you are allowing in your space, that is God-centered. In other words, the relationship is built on the principles of who God is and what God says about friendships. And when you have God friendships and God-centered friendships, you don't even have to worry about messy people. Because that's not an attribute that God would say should belong in a relationship. But more importantly, when you have God-centered friendships, these people will steer you not away from God, but always to God. I'm thankful for God-centered friendships. And I can remember times in my life, and I had a, you know, my brother, it was crazy. You know, back-to-back years, I lost my brother, who was my best friend, and then I lost my actual best friend, both to car accidents, back-to-back. But, you know, I remember times in my life where they were able to pull me by my coattail and tell me about myself. See, when friendships are God-centered, you can realize when it's the Holy Ghost talking or when jealousy is talking. But when they're not God-centered, when somebody tell you something, you think they just hating on you. You think they jealous on you. But when they're God-centered, you recognize the voice of God and you say, you know what? You're right. I need to make some changes.
Yes, sir.
And my last and final point of this message is good friendships push you towards your destiny. They push you towards your destiny. Not only do they push you towards your destiny, but in part, they feel responsible for you getting there. And what we have to realize that is we're going to get to the place, if we're going to get to the place of destiny, if we're going to get to the place where God has ordained us to be, it's going to take friendships. It's going to take good friendships. It's going to take recalibrating the friends in our lives and adjusting the access that we give to them. And we know the Bible speaks expressly, as Pastor would say, expressly, that Jesus was indeed 100% man and 100% God. But even him being God saw fit to connect with people to get him to his destiny. Judas gets a bad rep. He sold him out. But even that relationship was necessary for him to get to the place where he needed to be, the cross, Calvary. But the good thing or the magnificent thing about this, Jesus knew that he was going to betray him. But you never see him aggravated or agitated because he understood that Judas wasn't his confidant. You know, he was more of a constituent. So that did not allow, or that thing didn't allow him to get derailed from his purpose or his destiny, but he was able to keep it. And I'm just here to tell you today that if Jesus didn't go out and make disciples and build friendships and connectionships that had healthy boundaries. Like I said, it was one time when Jesus was about to perform a miracle. He said, listen, only Peter, James, and John can come in. The rest of us had to stay outside. If he didn't set boundaries, if they wasn't God-centered. You know, I'm reminded of the young rich ruler. The young rich ruler, he was so anxious and so happy, and he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus, I want to be down with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, okay, if you want to, go sell everything you have, and then you can follow me. And he said, nope, I can't. Why? Because it wouldn't have been God-centered. Finally, family, finally, and repeatedly, good friendships can help you get to the place where God has called for you to be. Not only will it help you get there, but good friendships will heal you. Good friendships will restore you. Good friendships will support you. Good friendships will make sure that you are good. And whenever you find your way getting off track in this life, they don't beat you down. They don't condemn you, but they give you enough to get you back on track. And I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody today. I don't know if this message is hitting home for anybody, but I'm just a messenger who God gave a message to. God is saying, I need you to recalibrate your friendships, because your destiny, the place that I've designed, the place that I want you to get to, the place that I need you to be, is dependent on it. And we got to realize is that if we're connected to mess, we become messy. If we're connected to hate, we become haters. But when we're connected to love, we become loving. When we're connected to grace, we become forgiving. And when we're connected to people who are good, we become givers. And so I challenge you today, recalibrate your friendships. And Father God, right now I pray, the matchless name of Jesus, that even now in this moment, that you'll speak to us. God, I pray right now, God, that you would even expose in dreams and in visions to us the people in our life who are in the wrong category. Some of us have been frustrated because we've been trying to depend on the wrong people. I want you to know that God is your source, and friends do play a part. And Father God, I ask you right now. God, we give you permission right now to come into our lives and to remove, oh God, people, connections, soul ties. Right now, in the name of Jesus, that is not fitting for where we're going. And I know that it's common for us to say no new friends. God, but I pray right now that you will send new friends. Oh God, not that's going to hinder us, oh God, but that's going to help us. That you will send people, oh God, to us to help push us to the place that you desire for us to be. And God, we ask you to do it because we don't even have the ability to. God, but I pray that you'll give us the grace to still love and pray for those people. But we come against the works and the trick of the enemy, and we come against even the works and the double-minded of ourselves. God, help us, oh God, to call a spade a spade. They're for us or against us. They're helping us or they're hurting us. There is no in between. So I thank you, God, that even now, for the person that feels lonely, for the person that feels like they don't have anybody, I thank you that you said in your word that you'll be a friend that stick closer than a brother. And now, God, I ask you that over the course of this year, that you would send new friends, oh God, that have healthy boundaries, that is God-centered, and that will push us to our destiny. I pray, oh God, that you even send mentors right now. I pray, right, God, that you're orchestrating friendships even now to help us get to the place that you've called us to be. And we just give you all the praise. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.